Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God bless the reading of his word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Brooks. I'll be bringing you the word this morning as we're continuing our series in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to open with a question. We covered this verse in a group of larger verses last week, and that was verses 1 through 12. But we're going to zoom in, and we're just going to look at this section on prayer. But I want to start with this. How do you persist? How do you keep asking? How do you keep seeking? And how do you keep knocking until the door is open? How do you do that when God delays or disappoints? Jesus said in the text that Adiola read just now, he says, when you ask your father for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. But sometimes, I think, I can probably speak for a majority of us, when you ask for bread, how many of you have received something which felt or tasted like a stone? Like George Bailey in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, he prays at the bar at Martini's, and he says, God, I'm not a praying man, but I'm at the end of my rope. And he asks for deliverance, and the very next scene is he gets punched in the mouth. And then he says, I guess that's what you get for praying. How do you persist? How do you ask? How do you seek? How do you knock until the door is open when sometimes the bread you ask for, it seems as if it's gravel? How? If you haven't been in that position, you will be. That's just life. That's just life. So we're gonna look at hopefully, I think the text is going to bring it out. It's going to bring it out. We're going to see the Holy Spirit has inspired this word that Matthew has recorded in the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at three things this morning, and the last one being the nature of the good things. But we're going to take a look at the nature of the ask itself, how we go about asking, what it is we are asking for, the nature of the giver. All of these things are in this text, the nature of the giver. And the last thing we're going to take a look at is, what does Jesus mean by the good things? What is this bread? What is it? Because if we don't get this right, it will be disillusionment, it will be despair, and sometimes we'll want to quit. We'll just stop asking. So the nature of the ask, the nature of the giver, and the nature of the good thing. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get to it. Father, we come to you in humble dependence. Lord, we trust that you are the giver of good gifts. You know what we ask for before we ask. You know what we need, and yet you want us to ask. And Father, you want us to persevere. I pray that you would give us the grace to stand firm in our faith in Christ. I pray that you'd give us the grace to endure. I pray that you'd give us the grace to persevere and keep asking, keep trusting. And Lord, I pray that you would give us what we need to persevere. Give us that daily bread. Speak to us through your word. Make the gospel apparent and increase our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take a look at the text, the nature of the ask. Jesus says, ask. It's the first word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. The emphasis on this text and many others where Jesus speaks about prayer, the emphasis on this text in particular seems to be about perseverance. The assumption that Jesus has, or the understanding that Jesus has that he wants to impart to his disciples, is you're going to have to persist. There's a sequence. Ask, seek, knock. He's pushing in on you're going to have to persist. You're going to have to persist. That's the emphasis. So the implication is if you don't, well, then you won't receive. If you don't ask, you won't receive. If you don't seek, you won't find. And if you don't knock, the door won't be open. I mean, that's implied. It's implied. So ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. So he wants us to ask, but the question is, why does he want us to ask? You can go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, where Jesus talks about the practice of prayer, and he says, your Father already knows what you need. So it begs the question, well, if he knows what I need, why do I have to ask him? That in and of itself is a sermon just by itself. We could spend a long time talking about the reason why we ask, but to boil it all down, the essence of asking is because that's what you do in a relationship. The essence of what Christ wants to do in you is he calls his disciples. You remember Matthew 4:16, where he calls Andrew and he calls Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The implication is they're going to live their lives with him. They're going to have and establish a real dynamic relationship with a being, a relational entity that wants to love them, that wants to know them, that wants to know them and be known by them. And the only way that happens is if there's communication between the parties in the relationship. It's not simply that the Father knows what you need and he's going to give it to you so you can go about your task. It's so that you get to know the nature and the heart of the Father. He wants to provide for you, and he also wants you and I to know that the things that we need and the things that we get and the way that we change, he wants you and I to know that those are gifts from him. Because there's a danger. If we don't ask and all of a sudden there's character transformation and we used to be impatient and now we're patient, we used to be angry and now we're gentle, if those things happen over time and we haven't asked, we might actually believe that, you know, I've done a pretty good job. I've become a decent chap. Somebody told me to speak in a British accent with a sport coat, so there you go. It's not South African, John, it's British. So if we don't ask, there's a danger that anything that good happens will attribute to our own efforts. And the Father wants us to know that he's right there with us, he's rooting for us, and that anything that happens in our lives is because of his love for us. And asking preserves that. It facilitates that. So that's the why of the ask. But he also, you can't miss it here. There's a sense in which you can't come away from this text and not sense that Jesus is advocating that hang in there and be persistent. It's going to require persistence. Now, we can bounce around. I won't have you turn there. But if you're a note taker, write these down. Two texts in particular, both from Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, and also Luke chapter 8. Verses 1 through 8. Jesus wants us to persist in asking. And the Luke passage is this segment almost exactly. Ask, seek, and knock. But it doesn't take place in Luke in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it takes place, Jesus, the disciples come to him and they say, hey, teach us how to pray. So he gives them the Lord's Prayer, which is also in the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus says, here's how I want you to pray. There's this guy, and he goes to his neighbor. It's midnight. A guest shows up, and he's like, I don't have any food. I can't feed this guy. He's been on the road for weeks. I don't have any food. So he goes to the neighbor, and he bangs on the door. Bum, 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 bum. And the neighbor comes to the door and says, what are you doing? It's midnight, and I'm in bed with my kids. He says, well, I have a guest. I don't have any food. Can you give me some bread? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The neighbor will give the man the bread, not because it's in his nature to give him bread, but because the man's obnoxious and he's banging on his door at midnight. So, you too be obnoxious and bang on. No, he doesn't say you too. He's like, God is not obnoxious. He's so much better, and he wants you to have that kind of attitude. Persist. And then in Luke chapter 18, the persistent widow. Jesus, Luke says, he told them this parable so that they might not lose heart. Hold on to that. That's not in this text, but it's a parallel text. He told them this parable so that they might not lose heart. And there's a widow that goes to an unjust judge, a wicked judge who accepts bribes, and she has no money. She's a widow. But she keeps coming, and she demands justice, and the judge sends her away every day, and every day she shows up asking for justice. And this wicked judge says, you know, this old woman is going to wear me out in her coming. So, you know what? Just to shut her up, I'm going to give her justice. And then Jesus says, your father is not unjust. So if a wicked man will appease an old woman, how much more will your father give you what you need if you ask? So don't lose heart. So that's the what and that's the why. That's the what and the why. That's the nature of the ask. But what about the nature of the giver? We know we're supposed to ask. We know we're supposed to seek. We know we're supposed to knock. And the reason for that is so that we might develop intimacy with the Father, and we know that he wants us to be persistent. So that's the ask. That's the ask. Now, let's take a look at the giver to whom we are asking. Jesus says, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, well, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Okay, so now let's take a look at the nature of the giver. What? The what is God is good. He's making an implication. And in both cases, in the Luke passages, the neighbor goes and gets his neighbor the bread, not because he's good. The reason that he complies and gets his neighbor bread is because he wants to go back to bed. This person is annoying him. He's woken him up. So it's not his gift of bread is not on the basis of righteousness or goodness or mercy or kindness. It's convenience. He's been inconvenienced, and so he is going. So, and Jesus is making a contrast. That's not your God. That's not the Father. And in the case of the persistent widow, the judge is wicked, and the only reason he complies is because this woman is wearing him out. That's not a righteous reason to meet this woman's request. And then Jesus says, but that's not your Father. Here's Jesus' point. Your Father is altogether and only righteous, altogether and only good, and he has your best interests in his heart. It is his nature to seek your ultimate well-being. That's who we are asking. That is the nature of the giver. Why does he emphasize this, though? Why is he so insistent, whether it's Luke chapter 11, whether it's Luke chapter 18, or whether it's Matthew chapter 7? Why does he persist? Why does he drill this down and say, listen, he's good. He's not like you. You give good gifts, and you have evil inside of you. He's not like that. He's altogether and only good. Why is this emphasized over and over and over? The reason it's emphasized is because when he delays, you will question it. You can't help questioning it. When you ask for bread and you bite into the sandwich and your teeth break because it tastes like gravel, you wonder. It's human nature. Yes, he wants an intimate personal relationship with him, but here's the thing. You can't see him and you can't touch him. And you cry out to him and you don't hear an audible response. And sometimes you ask, you seek, and you knock, and the door isn't open, and you just keep pounding. You wonder, is there anybody on the other side? And you will ask. If you have not already, you will. That's the nature of a real dynamic personal relationship. You're stretched, you're disappointed, you don't understand. So, confession. Some of you are like, oh no. Last week I preached, started with Matthew 7 verse 1. Judge not, lest you be judged. So the night before, I'm watching my wife suffer. And I ascended the bench, and I sat on the bench as the place of the judge, and I judged the judge of the universe. And questioned his goodness and his wisdom. And then I repented. It took me about 30 seconds, but I repented. Told my wife I was sorry. Asked for her forgiveness, and then I started journaling. And I was essentially telling him that the bread, it seems like a stone. And because I'm in the process of writing this book over the last 30 years, I was looking at three days ago, I was looking in my journal. I've been journaling since 1997. That's how I pray. I just write it all out. And I looked at this December 8th, 1998, February 21st, 2026, and they were the same entry, almost. There's pain, there's pleading. There's asking, there's seeking, there's banging on the door, and then there's personal confession that I'm struggling with anger and bitterness. That's why Jesus tells us that your Father's good, because there's going to be moments and sometimes decades where you're going to wonder. That's the essence of what it means to what Paul says when he says, rejoice in your sufferings, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and that hope does not disappoint because Christ's love is poured out into our hearts. You look at that ark and you say, I don't want that ark. I want this skipping through the meadows arc where there's no suffering, where I don't have to endure, where I don't have to persist, where I don't have to be hammered on an anvil, where I don't have to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. Why can't God just give me what I need without the pain, without the disappointment, without the delay? Because I won't grow without that resistance, and neither will you. See, the key question here is, what does Jesus mean by good things? That's absolutely key. Let's take a look at the text. The nature of the good things. It all comes into crystal focus here. If the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to what does Jesus mean by good things, then we can persevere. If he doesn't, and we won't. We'll quit. We'll stop asking. We'll become disillusioned. We'll walk away. We'll say, you know what? I asked for bread. You gave me a rock. You're not good. Or maybe you're not even there. But if we understand what Jesus is actually saying when he says your Father will give you good things, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What are those good things? Well, I know what I ask for. I know what we ask for. The obvious is, well, in my case, the good things is I just want God to heal my wife. Is that a good thing? Of course it is. Should I ask? Absolutely. What kind of husband would not ask his father to heal his loved ones? That's intuitive. Nobody's going to argue that. That's clearly a good thing. But is that the good things? Is that the essence? Is that what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount? It includes that. But you remember what we talked about last week? Context is everything when you read the Bible. Context means what comes before this little segment of Scripture. In the Scriptures, in Matthew chapter 5, going all the way up to the point we're at right now, the good things are characteristics of people that he intends to transform us into. In chapter 5, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the character, the kingdom characteristics that the recipients of the kingdom of God, they are poor in spirit. They do mourn and they grieve over their sin. They are in fact meek. They are in fact humble people. They do in fact hunger and they thirst for righteousness. These people are peacemakers. They're not contentious. They're not causing division. They seek to bring people together, and they're willing to risk it. These people are willing to be persecuted. They are salt and light. That's who they are. And then in chapter 5, he goes on and he says, these people have a deeper understanding of righteousness. You've heard it was said this, but I tell you this. This is the essence of true righteousness. And then he ends that segment with, so be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then he moves on and he says, and these people, they practice pure devotion. They pray this way. They fast this way. They give this way. Their devotion is altogether pure. And then these people in the second half of chapter 6, he says, and these people have an abiding trust in Jesus, in their Father. They're not anxious. And they're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And they're trusting and they're obedient and they're not fearful. And then these people have this relational relationship or righteousness where they don't judge and they don't lecture. They're humble people. What he has just done in those segments of Scripture, he set up an impossible standard. And he says, now just go do that. And I believe that the good things that Jesus is talking about here is the fact that you and I are looking at that and you're saying, that's nothing like me. I want you to make me poor in spirit. I want you to make me mourn over my sin. I want to be made humble. I want to be made meek. I want to be made someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be fearful. I want to have a pure and undiluted devotion to you. And so I am asking, and I am seeking, and I am knocking, and God, I am asking you to make me that man. And Jesus is saying, he is not going to give you a stone. He is going to make good on that promise and deliver you and make you the man or woman of God he has redeemed you to be. And he's going to use suffering to get you there. And there's going to be times where you're going to question his wisdom. Go back to those journal entries. 1998 and 2026. The subject matter is the same, but the person who's asking is totally different. in going through these things and asking and seeking and knocking, God is transforming me day by day to look more and more like his son. And here's the thing. Let me ask. So, should I ask for healing? Should you ask for healing? Of course. What does Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what is the next thing he says? And give us our daily bread. That means, Lord, I'm going to need something to eat to have the strength to follow you tomorrow. I'm going to need to be healed if I'm going to continue to walk in obedience and follow you. I'm going to need you to provide the grace, the mercy, the strength, the physical constitution, the physical healing. So of course we, but here's the thing. What we tend to do is we tend to just, we narrow the definition of good things to provision and health and calm relationships. And if we don't get those things, somehow we question the Father's goodness. And God's like, he blows that away. He says, no, yes, ask for those things, but here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm 58 and I hobble when I go back and forth. I'm getting older. I got a bad hip. Someday I'm going to turn to dust. Even if God should heal my wife totally, someday she's going to return to the dust. Even if God should give you your dream job, someday all of that income and all that money that you make is going to turn to dust. It all turns to dust. Do you know what doesn't turn to dust? The person God made you to be. That doesn't turn to dust. That's eternal. That's absolutely eternal. But he gives us physical bread, which rots, molds, and turns to dust, so that we can keep going, so that we can keep asking for the real good things, the things that will be there 10,000 years from now. See, once we start to get a handle on what the good things are, we start to understand that the bread that tastes like gravel is actually for our good as well. It's not always, I'm not saying that the gravel is good. I'm saying that God uses it for our good. And that's the key to perseverance, is understanding the nature of the giver and the nature of the good things. Yes, ask for healing. Yes, continue to ask. By all means, ask, persevere, but don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. So some practical takeaways, three of them. Keep asking, especially when you feel like quitting. I felt like quitting before. There's been times over the last 10 years where I've told my wife, you know, if I could walk away and God would make everything right, I would do it. But I don't think that's how it works. Sometimes you want to quit, but don't. Keep asking. Secondly, measure good. Measure good by transformation. So you haven't received the healing. So you haven't received the dream job. So you've prayed for your spouse and they're still obnoxious. Right? You've kept asking. And you just are not seeing the needle move. You haven't received the bread that you've asked for. And so you're tempted to question the goodness of your Father. Measure good by transformation. Who are you becoming in this process? Are you becoming poor in spirit? Are you becoming someone who mourns over your sin, who's grieved by your sin more now than you used to be? Are you becoming someone who is approaching humility and meekness? Are you becoming someone who is truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Is Jesus using the delay and sometimes your despair to hammer you and mold you and to make you look just like his son. If you can see some of those things being happening in your lives, then you can say, okay, God, I can keep going and I can keep asking and I can keep seeking and I'm going to keep knocking. Because I see what you're doing here. I see what you're doing. You're making me someone I never thought I could become. Because I can't, but you're making me that anyway. Measure good by transformation. And the most important thing is remember the cross. Remember the cross. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his Father. He asked his Father, please take this cup from me. He asked his Father a very specific request. And he did it three different times. He asked, he sought, and he knocked. Would you take this cup away from me? With this caveat, but not my will, but yours be done. And what did his Father give him? His Father gave him condemnation and wrath, the cross. Why? So that you would only and always receive bread. Christ, who is bread, gave his life so that you might receive him, so that you might know because he was forsaken, you never will be. That's the beauty of the gospel. Because of who Jesus is and because of what he has done and because of his resurrection, you can know that you are more loved than you ever hoped you would be. And you can know for sure that if God rose his son from the dead, he will use every loaf which looks like a stone to nourish your body and strengthen you and conform you to the likeness and image of his son. And this is what Paul means in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, these light and momentary afflictions. These moments where we bang on the door and we ask for bread and it seems like all we are receiving is stones. He says, these light and these momentary afflictions are producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Your Father is so good and so loving that as you and I wait for the good things we're asking for, he's producing an eternal weight of glory, which when we see it and when we behold it, no eye can see and no heart, no mind can comprehend the good things that he has in store for us. So ask. So seek and knock, and the door will be opened. If you would like to be prayed for, sometimes it's a matter of asking others to ask and seek and knock for us. Because sometimes you do lose heart. Whether it's this Sunday or any Sunday hereafter, always know that there are people up here to ask and seek and knock on your behalf. So encourage you, if you'd like to be prayed for, prayed with, please, please do that. Would you please stand for the benediction? Our benediction this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and to Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are good, that you give good gifts, Lord, would you help us to stand firm, to endure, to not lose heart by keeping our eyes set and fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Go in grace. We'll see you next week.